Hello and welcome to Lunch with Leon. Well, for this episode, I've got another special guest, and my guest comes from one of my favourite companies. This company is Air Coach in Dublin, and the managing director there is Dervla McKay. I've been talking to Dervla over lunch about how she got there and how she's got through the coronavirus at Air Coach. So, Dervla, how did you end up in Air Coach?
So I joined First Group in 2005 as a graduate trainee, spent my first year in what was our Hampshire and Dorset OpCo under the stewardship of the lovely Richard Soper. Fantastic guy, learned a lot from him in my first year, and I was very fortunate at the time. He was also, I suppose, the sponsor of the graduate scheme, so he kind of really looked after me very well. Did a number of operational roles, really, and for a number of years, moving up to Bristol, then down into what was the Devon and Cornwall business. And then I did back to Hampshire, Dorset, and then I did a project role for about 18 months, which was probably my most, other than the one I'm doing now, my most interesting role. Taught me a lot about internal and external stakeholder management, taught me a lot about engineering process. Well, I'll never be able to fix a bus, and I'm certainly not, like some of my colleagues, really into buses. I am really into my job and the team and our customers. But it was a great learning experience. Then back to Hampshire and Dorset again, a bit of a theme there. And then be 4 years ago now in April, I took up the role as managing director for Air Coach. So predominantly operational roles with a few kind of project type roles in between. So
look, you know that Air Coach is very dear to my heart because next year will be the 20th anniversary of me buying it from the famous personality, John O'Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And so that was 2003. And I bought Air Coach for First Group because I had in mind the forthcoming liberalisation of the bus market in Dublin. But actually, of course, the liberalisation of the bus market took rather longer than we expected.
It sure has.
And it's still happening. But Air Coach was just such a wonderful business because, frankly, coach economics are pretty difficult. But if you're selling a seat for 11 euros and half an hour later you can sell it again for another 11 euros, the economics were a bit better than some of the other coaching businesses which I'd seen. So Air Coach always had a special place in my heart. And of course, it also has a heritage with Hampshire and Dorset because Mark Reddy came and ran the place for a while for me in the 2000s.
Yeah, it was actually when I joined the First Group business and I joined Hampshire and Dorset. Mark was commercial director at Hampshire and Dorset, and he was also doing the job in Air Coach as MD there. So actually before I took up the role here, I was obviously working for Mark at the time. So of course we had a long chat about the role, the business, whether I should or shouldn't do it, and all of those good stuff. Obviously now I'm so glad that I did.
I'm glad you did too, because I still consider the business to be part of me. So to see it in good hands, I think is just tremendous. So I guess the thing that I always remember from all of my trips to Dublin, and I used to tell the team about this back in UK, is that Dublin superficially looks like the UK because you drive on the left and the language is understandable and we understand the road signs. But actually, just because it looks like the UK, that can lure you into a false sense of security because a lot of things are really different, aren't they? And the demographics are different, you know, the age profile of the population, the whole way in which people go about their business and so on is really different. And I always used to remind people that never to assume that Dublin is just another big UK city because it's quite different. So I guess everybody would be interested as to what life is like in a post-COVID, post-Brexit Dublin.
Yeah, so I mean, I have to say, Leon, it was a bit of a shock to the system to actually move back to Ireland. So I am Irish, as you can probably tell from the accent. I grew up quite rurally in Northwest Ireland in Donegal, and I moved to the UK after I'd finished university. So apart from a few student jobs, I'd never really been an adult in Ireland, I suppose, if you want to call it that. So obviously when I moved back, you know, and I'd never lived in Dublin either. So when I moved back, it was quite... took a bit of getting used to, even just things like talking to my friends about, you know, they're like, this radio show or that radio show. Like I didn't really know a lot, if I'm honest, and it was a very steep learning curve just in so far as, can I suppose, catching up with modern day Ireland. I mean, I was away for 12 years, so that is quite a long time, but then also the difference in the regulation. And of course we have a business in Northern Ireland as well, which is different to how transport in England is run, because I predominantly kind of spent my career in England with a small bit of time in Wales on a project role. So I was kind of had the English legislation kind of ingrained in me, and then I'm learning how the Irish system works from a public transport point of view, which is very different. And then it's slightly different again in Northern Ireland, even, you know, just in terms of how you decide where you're going to operate it, if you can operate it, if it's a, yeah, it's quite different, I suppose. How Ireland is now, we were very challenged throughout COVID. We, you know, it was widely reported so that we were, you know, one of the strictest measures in Europe. So we, you know, we didn't have any pubs opened in Ireland for well over a year, which doesn't suit the Irish people very well. And then just, you know, we had 25% capacity on public transport for quite a long time, which obviously, you know, my colleagues in various parts of the UK, you know, it never did get that low. So, I mean, as a business for Air Coach, I mean, there was a period of 3 months there where we just did not operate. I mean, I was actually on maternity leave with my youngest at the time the pandemic hit, and I actually cut my maternity leave short to come in and support my team to deal with the fallout from COVID. And essentially all but 11 of the staff, and that included me, were put on temporary layoff. And it's actually only really in the last few months that we have everybody back to work, and actually not everybody's still back full time because there just isn't that demand for international travel. So our business was hit extremely hard. And of course, 87% or so of public transport in Ireland is still state run. So it's kind of the opposite model to the UK. So, you know, there's no CBSSG or CBSSGR or any such funding puts for the private bus and coach sector. So there was some funding available, but not anywhere near the level to be able to kind of support us. So obviously very grateful at this moment in time to be part of, you know, a group such as First Group. You know, they've been supporting us throughout the pandemic. But I think going into next year, things are looking much brighter. Dublin Airport are expecting about 75% of pre-pandemic levels. And only last week, Ryanair announced their biggest ever summer schedule. So 22 more destinations than summer 2019. So things are looking up, but there's no denying it. It's been a very challenging nearly 2 years for sure.
Indeed. And I don't know about you, but in the first lockdown, I remember it was spring 2020. The weather was quite good. Mm-hmm. If this was a little bit of an adventure, no disrespect to all the people who were ill or seriously ill or indeed who died. But in fact, there was something of a sort of quiet period of reflection with nice weather and so on. It's only, of course, after a while that it starts to drag, and then we get all the mental health issues, don't we, of the people stuck at home, the people whose businesses are going through the floor because of the pandemic. And certainly when we got to 2021, you know, I think everybody was starting to get seriously fed up of it. I know people are bursting generally to get back out and do stuff, and I think also to travel. But of course, you know, I've been doing some traveling, as you know, and it's just, you're always on a knife edge. So I'm traveling tomorrow. So of course, I've been waiting for my pre-flight PCR test result, because if it's positive, I'm not going. I've got another trip to do in a week or so's time. In fact, the next episode of Lunch will be coming from the new ITP Congress in Dubai. I hope to be there, but I won't know until a week's time whether I'm negative and clear to go. And that, I think that uncertainty has been really, really bad for everybody, because we got used to being able to go wherever we wanted, didn't we?
Yeah. And I think for us as well, you know, even there was that period kind of from November to December when, you know, Omicron came and hit us, because actually things were picking up quite nicely, you know, August through October, where obviously they brought in the restrictions again. And even within the common travel area now, obviously the UK to Ireland air transit market is our biggest market. So, you know, for people to have to, you were fine going out, but to come back in, you had to test. So, you know, that really just seen a huge drop off in what we would call the discretionary travel. It thought, oh, well, I've got a long weekend that I didn't expect from work, and, you know, hop on an airplane and go, you know, and do a nice European city break or whatever it is. So, you know, we did see that. But I mean, from everything that we're looking at, the forecast from both Dublin Airport and then, you know, kind of trying to keep up to date with what IATA are saying, you know, the forecast is looking better. The markets have shifted, and certainly, you know, the longer distance US stuff will take a while longer to recover than, say, the European market, but you know, recover it will, and that's what we've been preparing for really the last couple of years. You know, like you say, the downtime in some ways hasn't been the end of the world. We'd much rather our businesses hasn't been decimated, but, you know, we were able to use that downtime to create a new website from scratch, which has been fantastic, enabled us to do lots of different things that we wouldn't not been able to do. We're just starting to test Leap. So we're bringing Leap onto Ticketr for the first time. So we'll be able to accept Leap on our ticket machines in the springtime. So there's been lots of good and exciting things that we've been able to do to enhance our customer proposition during that time. So it hasn't been a complete bust. So you're always trying to be glass half full.
Definitely. And the thing I always remember about the Irish economy generally and the Dublin economy was that Air Coach was a bellwether for it. So when Dublin was doing well, Air Coach was doing fantastically. When Dublin was doing badly for any one of a number of reasons, whether it's the economy or virus or whatever, it's the opposite. And Air Coach takes a bit of a battering, because as soon as those airline passengers aren't traveling, then our market's disappeared, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we are so intrinsically linked to airport travel. Now, we do have some routes that are, you know, intercity, but even actually throughout the pandemic, and I honestly was quite surprised by this, the airport section of those routes were still busier than the intercities. You know, so there is still people wanting to travel or having to travel for, you know, sometimes sad reasons why they need to travel. But yeah, the two are so intrinsically linked. And of course, now with inflation at a 20-year high and a very buoyant employee market, things, while the travel will return, there will obviously be other challenges heading our way. So we're not out of the woods. But then that's what keeps it interesting, Leon. I think it was all running smooth. I wouldn't have been still in public transport. I'd have gone somewhere else. So sometimes it's the challenges and the few extra grey hairs that you get. You think, actually, you know what, this is what keeps me interested. So
I'm sure. And what's the status on the bus franchising in Dublin at the moment? Because 20 years on, and I remember writing a report back in 2003 for the First Group PLC board. The truth was that in those days, bus liberalisation fell into four categories. Straight after an election, bus liberalisation was promised. Then there'd be a period when it was thought the EU might legislate for it. Then there was a period when people were very concerned about the effect with the workforce and the trade union. And then we were in the run-up to the election. So basically, we had a four-year cycle of no progress. So what's it like now?
So it is happening. So obviously, in the last, actually, the first round of tenders actually were awarded just before I joined the Air Coach business. And there's been several tenders since, but there's also been some direct awards to the state-run companies as well. So it is still ongoing. Those tenders are every 5 years. So yeah, no, it's, there's definitely some manoeuvring. I think there was particularly a lot of noise at the start, as you'd imagine, like you say, about the unions and that. But actually, while we're currently not operating any of those tenders ourselves, all credit to those that are, they've actually gone relatively smoothly with not as much noise as I had expected there to be, I have to say now. So yeah, it's just interesting to keep, you know, we're obviously clearly keeping a very close eye on it and waiting to see what happens and hopefully throwing our hat in the ring in the not too distant future.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to give away any commercial
secrets,
but it's a wonderful market. It's a lovely public transport market. There's very little in the way of competition. There's a little bit of light rail, but bus has got a very important place, isn't it?
It does, but of course, particularly for the airport, we'll have to see what happens with Metro and whether Metro gets off the ground, which is obviously the underground that they're planning to put through from the south side of the city up to as far as Sword. So that will go through the airport. So that will have an interesting change in the market if that happens. It was originally scheduled for 2027, but they've pushed that now out into early kind of 2030. So although it seems like a long time away now, these things don't be long coming round. So that's certainly in our thoughts and in our planning for the kind of longer term about what that might mean for our business.
Yeah, sure. And look, you've got a bit of a unique experience because you cut your teeth in the UK market. So you must have an interesting view on what's going on in the UK from where you are in Dublin, because you're looking at what appears to be a seismic change. But as I said on the episode last week, we're in a bit of a funny position at the moment. The government promised a huge amount of money for significant improvements. The money itself has been diluted. There's no certainty of the next financial year, so nobody knows whether their exciting plans are going to get approved or not. It's entirely possible that in the forthcoming months, that funding may not even materialize, in which case the big exciting change that the Buses Back Better plan had might just all fall away. So how does it look like from where you are?
Yeah, so I mean, I obviously speak to my colleagues every week as a group of, I suppose, First Bus MDs. We do get together every week, and then, you know, on a kind of a larger monthly scale. And it's nice we've had a few of those in person, because there was a long time I'd only just met a few colleagues on Zoom. So it was actually when I went back to London for the first time, I think it was in September last year, and I actually got to meet some colleagues that I hadn't met. So Jeanette was one of them. I'd only ever met Jeanette on Zoom. So it's actually nice to meet Jeanette in the flesh, our MD for the division. It's interesting, and it's amazing how when you're actually somewhere else in a different country, albeit only the Irish Sea between us, how different things are. And you know, you kind of do a lot of listening, as you'd imagine, because I'm not in the thick of it, so to speak, anymore. But, you know, you can sometimes throw in a bit of a different thought process into it when you're outside looking in. But it's certainly a challenging and exciting time all in one. I suppose it's the unknown for the recovery. And then, you know, where are our passenger recovery? Where is it going to peak? And then matching the networks to suit that new normal. I hate using that word, but it's appropriate in some occasions. So matching the networks for that new normal. And then where is all this funding going to go? How is it going to be funneled? And then obviously the different relationships with the different local authorities and the impact that has on how, you know, the funding is allocated. So it's a constantly moving feast, and are obviously trying to keep as close to it, you know, as a division as we can. But an interesting time all round, actually.
Dervla McKay is having lunch with Leon Daniels for itthub.net. Dervla is the managing director of Aircoach, the successful airport and city coach operator in Dublin, owned by First Group. She is telling Leon what makes Aircoach so successful and how it has weathered the pandemic. From itthub.net.
It is interesting how as UK moves its way back towards a more regulated model with franchising in cities or enhanced partnerships, in a way, Dublin missed out the middle bit, the deregulated bit, isn't it? Both what's happening in Ireland and what's happening in the UK may be much more similar in the future than they've ever been in the past. But Dublin never went through the deregulation bit. It would just be moving to a franchised model, a bit like we're going to see in UK cities. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I suppose it's interesting to watch. And actually, a few people have said, you know, to me, oh, would you not fancy going to work for somebody else? And I'm actually, do you know what? I would miss the commercial freedoms. And I was, up until I took this role on, an operational lead through and through, and that had been the bread and butter of my career. But actually, since taking on this role, you get the best of both worlds. So you get a small, agile business in a market where you can kind of, you know, do what you need to do, make those small tweaks, and you can see the effect on the staff or the customer straight away. But equally, you know, you have a large parent company and the support that comes with that in terms of, you know, investment and expertise and things like technology. And you can kind of, you know, my role here is to try and, you know, maneuver between those two lines to kind of get the best that I can for the Aircoach, you know, for my Aircoach team and for my customers. So, you know, I love that. And I think actually if ever, you know, you went somewhere else, you would lose that. You know, I like that, and I really enjoy that element of my role. And I don't know if, you know, not being able to decide my fares, not being able to decide my routes, not being able to choose the technology for my business. Not sure that's for me, but, you know, each to their own.
Well, there you are. You see, you're a fairly rare example, if you like, of the sort of retail side of your psyche coming forward, because basically, at the end of the day, this is about selling as many tickets as possible for as much money as possible and spending the money wisely. But of course, a lot of people are in the industry in a sort of cost control or an operational control type role. And I think it's really important, and I've often thought this, that one of the reasons I think in the UK why we never really fully embraced the deregulated period is that we never quite made up our minds whether we were a utility or a retailer. Are we like water, where you just turn the tap and water comes out and you don't care where it comes from, you don't care who sold it to you, you don't care anything about it, it's just a sort of human right. Turn on the tap, there's water. Whereas in public transport, we tried to be, you know, deregulated, we tried to be a, you know, free-for-all, we tried to be a retailer, but the public never really wanted to let go of us as a public service. And they sort of wanted their bus service to be like water. You know, you just went outside, a bus came along, and you travelled on it and you didn't much mind whose bus it was or so on. And I often think that in the same way that you would never, I mean, nobody advocates that British Airways should be renationalised. Nobody says that British Airways should be more heavily regulated. It frankly flies planes to places where people want to go at a price it can charge and hopes to make a profit on it. And nobody says that British Airways has got a public service that it must go to certain places in the world because it's a public service. But that's what we get on bus, don't we? We get people saying to us, what are the unemployed people going to do? How are people going to get to school? How older people are going to get to the shops? There's this sort of public service thing that I think we never quite broke away from.
And I agree. And I think that's sometimes the perception and why scheduled local bus gets a negative perception, because it is seen still as under public ownership and it is seen as a utility. But actually, it's not that way at all. In Aircoach, we're very much a retailer and we're seen as that. And actually, one of the things, apart from the culture shock of just being away in Ireland for so long, as I've talked about, you know, kind of at the beginning, is even though Aircoach, I always knew Aircoach was part of the first bus business, and I'd used it a couple of times coming back to visit family and friends, I had no idea the brand presence that we had in Ireland and how universally loved the brand is. I mean, we have an NPS of plus 55. That's phenomenal. Our customers genuinely like really love what we do. And even just simple things. I mean, we're trying to, I suppose, transition ourselves. You'll remember the old radar logo well, I'm sure, Leon, away from travel and luxury to a more value add kind of modern operator, and things even just like adding on when you're going through booking online on the Aircoach website, you can now book a Dublin Airport Fast Track Pass while you're doing that. So it's only one transaction. You can book a lounge, only one transaction, you know, making that end-to-end customer journey seamless. And actually the other thing that we've been focusing a lot on is our digital presence. We are a retailer. We need to have a strong digital presence and making sure our search engine optimization is how it needs to be. And all those things I have loved getting to under the skin and actually, again, being able to affect that so quickly. Whereas, you know, my UK colleagues, I'm kind of like, I'm sure some of them must be jealous of me that I get to all do all these fun things and they're kind of stuck to in some of the kind of in the thick of it with the unions. Although I have a union as well, but, you know, it's just a different proposition, which is why it's so thrilling. And as I said, I don't think now that I could ever go away from that retailing piece because I just love it so much and it's so, so exciting.
And, you know, I think there is a huge amount, not just for First, but for the UK operators generally to learn from everything you said, you know, about the agility, about the making sure the retail presence, the digital presence, making sure that the value proposition was understood. And I know entirely what you mean about the way in which Aircoach has always been loved in the marketplace, because I think it's seen to be entrepreneurial. And I think it's seen to be, as I recall from 20 years ago, it was a slightly cheeky brand in as much as it was carving out a fabulous service, fabulous quality vehicles, beautiful seating, all the trimmings and so on, in an otherwise slightly dull public transport market. And it dared to go to places that people hadn't thought of going to in the past. And, you know, there was a tremendous entrepreneurial spirit and it was in the heart of the people. I could see people making serious choices. And I've watched on several occasions, I'm sure you have, in the city centre, taxi drivers try to steal Aircoach.
Oh, that still happens. But did you know the Aircoach isn't running today?
Is that what they say?
Oh, it is. Yep, yep.
But I can see loyal passengers refusing. I've sat and watched and people say, no, we're booked on the Aircoach. That's what we're going to do. It has always been a loved brand. And I think that's another thing we never quite got right in the way that Virgin Atlantic is loved by its customers and a way that Apple is loved by its customers, even though in many cases you're perhaps paying a higher price for the quality and the experience. I don't think in the UK we ever quite matched that on bus. So to see Aircoach still young and agile is fantastic.
Yeah, we're doing our best. I mean, it's important to keep up with what the customers actually want. And we actually do regularly go out to our customers to find out what they want. It's important to live the brand. So at least once a month, I'll spend half a day in our customer call center and answer the calls, because then you really get to know what your customers want. And I think that's also, I suppose, where I would actually really strongly advocate for is our, it's not just about, yeah, they have a good experience, they pay a decent fare for, you know, the driver's nice, it's punctual, we know that they're kind of the things that customers want, but actually it's not just about that, it's about the whole end-to-end experience. So, you know, if they do need to contact customer services about something, they're not waiting the standard, we'll get back to you in 10 days. You know, they want and they expect an answer and they want it relatively quickly. And, you know, that's one thing we we really focus on is making sure that, you know, we do give that great customer care, aftercare or before care as well. So it's about every touch point with the AirCoach business. And as I said, with it being a relatively small business, in the scheme of bus businesses, it is easy to affect change and make those decisions quite quickly. And then the next week, you see the output of the change that you did. But there are still some battles to be had. And, you know, we're still part of a big parent company. So it's not always, you don't always win your battle straight away. But it's a challenge I love, which you can probably tell in my voice anyway.
I know you do. And I know that AirCoach's founder, John O'Sullivan, won't mind me telling this story. But as during the negotiations 20 years ago to buy this business, and I'd warned First Group that this was an entrepreneurial business that was agile and was in the hearts of the community. Nevertheless, as you might imagine, parent companies have big departments that look after finance and planning and so on. So I took a senior finance person from the group over to take a look at this proposition. And one of the questions that he posed to John O'Sullivan was what research had been carried out to ascertain the demand for the new service that he was proposing from Dublin to Cork. And John didn't blink. He just looked back at my senior finance guy and said, the road to Cork is very wide, and they wouldn't have built a wide road if a lot of people weren't going to use it. Which I think is the most priceless indication of an entrepreneur who said, well, it's obvious. It's obvious there's a big wide road, there's a lot of traffic. And if there's a lot of traffic on it, we can have some of it. So the finance guy was speechless, absolutely speechless, because it's not the sort of answer you expect. You'd expect some research and some information about the numbers of people.
The population and the demographics of that type of population, how socially mobile they were, and all of those good things that you expect in a nice report, yeah.
Indeed. That was hugely funny. But of course, it just proved the agility and the entrepreneurial spirit of the organization. So in fact, it turned out to be beneficial. So life turned out to be very good. And I think there was a point at which AirCoach was, percentage terms, one of First Group's best companies and continues to do that, which is just amazing. So what's the big challenge for 22, Devla?
Passenger recovery. That's the obvious one. You know, kind of getting the passengers back and, you know, hopefully the NTA to continue to be accommodating with regards to schedule adjustments. So, you know, the normal rules that apply, kind of like in the rest of the UK, they kind of relax those a little bit to try and allow us to match our networks with the demand. So I'm hoping that will continue for, you know, another while longer and just till we kind of get back to a more regular playing field. I think, you know, we still need to think about the challenge of sustainability and alternative fuels. You know, long distance intercity coach services do not lend themselves well to one charge of a battery. So the challenge around, you know, meeting those demands, I think the challenge around then funding for that, because of course, you know, there is a lot of investment into alternative fuel vehicles in Ireland, but of course they're going straight to the state run and state funded companies. So, you know, we don't have Sulebs or Zebras just floating around ready for us to help with the cost of the infrastructure. So that whole piece, while it mightn't be coming at us this year, it's certainly something that I'm actively looking at and involved in discussions. And then keeping up with, well, I suppose, what we've just been talking about, the pace of change on the customer demand, and particularly looking at, you know, integrated transport in a space in a country where it's still predominantly state run, but actually, you know, there are moves to try and make that more joined up. So yeah, lots always going on. And of course, wanting to not just stand still, always looking at opportunities to grow the business as well. So
Devla, that has just been fantastic. I know loads of my listeners will be really fascinated to catch up on not only what's happening in Dublin and the Dublin airport market, but also what it looks like in the UK from somebody who's worked in both. So that's been really good, Devla. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today has been Lunch with Leon. Lunch with Leon is an itthub.net production. Go across to our website, itthub.net, for all the latest news about transport, news about podcasts, and news about more things that you can learn and find out about here at itthub.net. In the meantime, a big thank you to my guest, Devla McKay at AirCoach.